This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me think I'm getting the power. It's the power. Power, power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power, power. You were caught in, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. Power, power, power. LSU were caught in, it's the power.
PHL Nation, welcome in, nooffseason.com. Bringing the heat today, Gary Nussmeier will recap everything that was said at SEC Media Days, which was basically a whole bunch of nothing, which is a good thing. I'll tell you why coming up. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of you just want to talk about DJ Pickett because it is the biggest newsworthy story that will be decided in the next 24 hours here, where he is committing to. I don't really want to talk about that. I really don't. Like, there's so much good, like, vibes out there. And I don't believe he's picking LSU. I'll give you my full rundown of what I've heard and everything. I posted a podcast, patreon.com/LSU football. Sign up. You get yourself a Joe Burrow card in the mail from yours truly. So if you want that, go on ahead and check it out. But I want to talk about a few things I've been hearing from SEC Media Days. Some vibe-based, some other things based. I still think the juiciest story in college football right now is, where is Florida State and Clemson going to go as far as conference realignment? That discussion can also get boring. So I want to talk about just LSU and the actual teams, because we are all here because we love LSU football. Now, the poll question has nothing to do with LSU football. I want to celebrate Paul Skeens, as one of our sharpest viewers, Rob G, points out. He did pitch the first inning of the All-Star game. We say hi to Cliff. We say hi to Rob G. We say hi to Cole, Tony, and Nick. Who is your favorite non-football LSU athlete over the past 2 years? I have Angel Reese, Paul Skeens, Haley Bryant, and other chosen. I think a lot of you are going to say Dylan Cruz as well, but if you want to say Dylan Cruz, just click other. And let me know if you're listening, Spotify, iTunes. Tag me on Twitter or Instagram at Power Hour LSU. Posted a fun little comedy skit on my Power Hour LSU Instagram, so make sure you check that out. Now, I do want to start with, to me, the thing that interests most of you going into next year, which is the LSU offense. I think the other side of the football is something a little bit more intriguing for a lot of you. And I think a lot of you feel more comfortable with the LSU offense and Garrett Nussmeier. So here is him yesterday talking about the differences between him, Jaden Daniels, and the offense heading into 2024.
I would say, we've came together and we've spent a lot more time outside the building together. We've gotten a lot closer. I think that'll gel and mesh onto the field. Things are obviously going to be different. When you look at, me and Jaden's skill sets are obviously different. That's no surprise. But I think Coach Sloan has done an unbelievable job kind of gelling and meshing this offense into what he wants it to be. So I think you're going to see a very explosive, very exciting offense, a very dominant upfront offense. I think it's going to be, hopefully very special to watch. I would say, we've came together and we.
So, notice the impetus on the difference and Garrett Nussmeier understanding how different of a player he is than Jaden Daniels. I still believe this to be true. The quarterback is always going to be more important than the play caller. That's just how it works. A great quarterback can overcome bad play calls. But the second most important person in your entire offense is the guy calling the plays. And I have always felt this way when it comes to college football. When it comes to the individual season, the quarterback is the single most important person outside of the head coach. But the overall health of your program, the play caller on the offensive side of the football, is the second most important person in your program outside of the head coach. So, for me, outside of the great Brian Kelly, who we'll talk about a little bit later when it comes to SEC Media Days, said some very juicy things about what we should expect from the LSU defense going into next year. We'll get to that here in just a second. I still think the more interesting variable for LSU's offense next year is Joe Sloan than it is Garrett Nussmeier, because it is so different actually being the play caller compared to being the co-play caller. Obviously, Mike Denbrock called 90% of the plays, but Joe Sloan sat right next to him. He heard every single word that Denbrock said. So this is going to be new. And Joe Sloan, of course, has play calling experience, which I like. It's kind of rare for a younger coach to have that. And it is Division I play calling experience. So that does excite me. It really, really, really does. But I still feel the more intriguing aspect of this equation is him than us. You know, I feel pretty comfortable about both of them going into next year. But I think a lot of you are wondering, will LSU run the football more next year? That's something that a lot of you have been calling for. Now, when it comes to the LSU offense, I want to show you a chart from one of my favorite Vegas analysts by the name of Colin Wilson. Returning offensive production in the SEC. Now, notice another guy that I like, Bill Connolly of SB Nation, said that LSU's offense returns an F-ton of production. Colin Wilson's numbers say not quite the same thing. He has LSU at about league average returning production. Now, these are his own metrics, but he does have LSU basically near the bottom half, not quite the bottom half, but just right smack dab in the middle when it comes to returning production on offense, also factoring in the transfer portal. Now, different analytic accounts have different metrics when it comes to this, but I tend to believe this a little bit more than Bill Connolly's numbers, because LSU did lose a lot of production. You lost your starting center. You lost a Heisman quarterback. You lost arguably the best receiver in school history. You lost the most athletic wide receiver in school history in Brian Thomas, according to RAS. You know, you did lose a lot. And then you also lost your RB1 from last year to another team that you're playing in the SEC. So when it comes to production, it is going to look very different outside of course, the LSU offensive line and tight end position. So it's a very interesting thing to keep up with in terms of how different the LSU offense will look next year. And honestly, if you were to really break down the LSU offense from year to year to year, I want you to really think about your preconceived notion of what you thought the LSU offense would look like before the season, and then actually look at how the season played out. You know, pre-2019 LSU, we did not think we were going to see what we saw. 2020 went about according to plan, but Miles Brennan got hurt. 2021. We probably felt Max Johnson was going to be a little bit better than he was. He was okay. I had my skepticisms at the time as a year two starter with some weird play calling tendencies with Ed Orgeron. Obviously, he didn't call the offensive plays, but as many of you know, I wasn't necessarily the biggest fan of what they decided to do that year at OC. Then at 2022, probably had a decent idea what the LSU offense would look like. We thought it was going to not be great, but be okay, and it's what it was. But, you know, I don't think we would have thunk we would have won some of the games with how poorly we played at offense at times during that 2022 season. And then, of course, in 2023, every offensive game was fantastic. Jaden Daniels had the best Heisman Trophy season statistically, efficiency-wise, just pure raw numbers-wise, of anyone in the modern era. Now, I don't think it was the best Heisman season. I think, you know, Joe Burrow and Cam Newton would have something to say about that, but it was up there amongst the all-time greats. And I don't think any one of us would have expected that. And not many of us would have thunk that Jaden Daniels would turn into the best deep ball thrower maybe ever in college football when you just look at the deep ball efficiency that he threw with last year. So one thing to keep in mind as we move one step forward to the LSU offense of next year, and I think a lot of you listen to Mason Taylor, you listen to Harold Perkins, and so on and so on, it's very interesting that things change during the course of the season. They really, really do. Offense is very, very unpredictable. The sport is very unpredictable. So it's very interesting. Now, I'm just going to share with you one thing that I've done. Obviously, I'll address this now. Yesterday, we did a 4.5-hour stream playing the new NCAA video game. The numbers look great. I don't know if we're going to do a whole lot more streams. Comment down below if you want me to do more video game streams on this channel. I'm going to have a separate gaming channel. I know not all of you like the video game stuff. I loved it. I am addicted to this game, and I suck at it. I think it makes it funnier that I'm getting my ass beat, and it shows you how difficult actual football is because this game is very realistic. I mean, it really is. And it's tough. It's tough. And I'm a film guy. I know what mesh is and sail and all that stuff. I'm not, you know, with terminology, I'm not the absolute sharpest guy. It's difficult. It requires joystick skills, patience, the ability to look at a bunch of different things all at once. You know, it's really, really, really hard. But I loved it. I freaking loved it. One thing, though, that I have just kind of sort of naturally have done on the game, and I've had more success doing this, is running 12 personnel. I have been eating with Mac Markway on the game. Like, seriously. Now, I'm not playing at a high difficulty level. I've not played online. I've not started really a dynasty or anything like that. But I obviously, the video game doesn't necessarily mean Mac Markway is going to be really good next season. He might be more of a year three guy, and he's entering year two. But LSU, for me on the game, my offenses have run better with 12 personnel. Okay, so it is very interesting. I just wanted to include that anecdotally. Maybe it's a sign of things to come. And for those that don't know, 12 personnel, of course, two tight end sets. That means you take a wide receiver off the field and you bring on a tight end. Obviously, LSU's offense, more so than any offense in college football over the past five seasons, is probably the highest 11 personnel offense in all of college football, which is three wide receivers, one running back, one tight end. And that has lasted through multiple head coaches now and multiple OCs. So obviously 2019, Jamar, Terrace, Justin, and then were the three receivers, and we never really took them off the field. And then of course, this past year, Kyren, Malik, and BTJ. So it is interesting with the wide receiver room being a little bit more open. Maybe you do see more 12. We'll see what happens. We will. Also, Xavion Thomas and CJ Daniels are good on the game. We knew Kyren would be good on the game. But I freaking love it. I needed to finish my Power Hour NFL projects. And today I just couldn't quit thinking about this game. So I might have to throw my PS5 in a lake so I could be productive again. Now, we're going to point out the first lie of the evening. Amicat said he had a 98-yard touchdown return with Thomas. I have not seen one person take a kickoff return to the house. So I think you're definitely fibbing here. We cited Jared, top super chatter of the month, J-Red, over the past month. I really appreciate you. Cole says BK's year three offense looked like Notre Dame 2020. Ness is a better version of Ian Book. I agree with that. And the O-line is their strength. Obviously, that offensive line was really good. Actually, no, I'm getting... Would Quentin Nelson have been on that? I don't know. I got to go back and look. I don't think he would have been. But the bigger point here with Cole is he is wearing merch. He got off the merch shop. You can get this shirt as well. Cool weather is approaching. Go to powerhourlsu.com/shop. Once again, that is powerhourlsu.com/shop. Now, an apology is in order. Twitter is not letting me broadcast anymore live because we have sold out on youth shirts. And it wasn't a sellout. They just discontinued it. We didn't sell enough youth shirts. I blame the kiddos. But truth be told, Elon is making me pay for a blue check to go live on Twitter. So I'm deciding if it's worth it. So if there are a lot of you that watch PHL on Twitter, I don't mind paying, what is it, $8 a month? Okay. So I don't mind paying it. I really don't. Now. Yeah, I don't have a blue check. There you go. Heather Gray, PHL is Texas formal, summer formal wear. Now, I do want to address this one thing, okay? About the DJ Pickett situation. Once again, my full thoughts on DJ Pickett will be on Patreon. I'm doing that a little bit. I might put a lot of my predictions there because I don't really like talking about it on live streams for a lot of different reasons. But patreon.com/LSU football is where you can find the prediction. I don't want this to sound like it's a cope situation. If Pickett doesn't pick LSU tomorrow, which I don't think he will, but it does feel this recruitment is one of those things, whether he picks LSU or if he picks Oregon, I do feel it's one of those situations where he's truly a dotted line recruit. And what that basically means is he's not for sure going anywhere until the pen is signed to paper. Now, I know what a lot of you are going to say. Well, Carter, it's like that for every recruit. We really don't know until pen is signed to paper. And that's true. I would not disagree with that. What I would tell you, though, is there are recruits where you can clearly see they are open for business. They are open all the way up until National Signing Day. And I feel like DJ Pickett is going to be one of those guys. So this very well could be a situation. And this is why I warn you, because I don't think he's picking LSU. I would put it like a 5% chance he picks LSU tomorrow. I would warn you to not slander the kid too much. Or actually, don't slander him at all. Because this is a situation where he could pick LSU towards the end. Now, what's the difference between a dotted line recruit and a non-dotted line recruit? Well, let's take someone like Damian Shanklin. All right. Damian Shanklin is not from the South, right? He's from Indianapolis. He's from the North. And we've talked a lot about how much tougher it is to keep those recruits because, you know, as you move closer to the signing day, you start thinking, well, maybe I should stay closer to home, and so on and so on and so on. But Damian Shanklin very publicly said today, I'm shutting things down. Now, does it ever really mean you're shutting things down? No, because you have not signed on the dotted line yet. It's nearly impossible in this day and age to just completely shut things down until you sign on the dotted line. But there's a difference. What do we know about Damian Shanklin's recruitment? Well, he has visited LSU a ton coming in from Indianapolis. The second thing about his recruitment, the coaches that are in place now are likely going to be the coaches next year. So Kevin Peoples very likely will remain LSU's defensive ends coach next year. The defensive line coach, Bo Davis, who's more so the tackles coach, will be there next year. Blake Baker, unless he gets a head coaching job, will be there next year. Brian Kelly will be LSU's coach next year. So there's a lot of consistent variables to go along with you saying, I'm 1,000% shutting things down. That's a little bit different than, you know, let's say DeCorian Moore, who at times said, hey, I'm going to LSU. This is my dream school. But a few weeks after that, he said, hey, this is my Final Four. Well, why are you releasing a Final Four when you're already committed to LSU? We get our first Super Chat of the evening here with Jared. But I wanted to get that out there. I wanted to shout Damian Shanklin, shutting things down, a big part of our LSU recruiting class. This is not Jared, excuse me, Jordan Haddad in New Mexico with the coffee emoji. What's up, Jordan? Good to see you. This is Lance. I got another message, Carter, why aren't you on Twitter from the Twitter DMs. I'm still deciding whether or not I'm going to buy the blue check. So Elon's not letting me stream anymore unless I pay for a service, which I don't mind. But I was actually getting ready to get a blue check on my Carter the Power Twitter account. And Julie with the super chat, thank you so much. She says, I'm the best. No, Julie, you are the best. Can't wait to see you the next time I'm in Gonzales, Louisiana. Julie is the Gonzales, Louisiana PHL fan club president. And Jared drops a $4.99. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Let's go to Jared. He says, why would DJ Pickett want to go to Oregon, travel 2,500 miles every weekend and play in the freezing cold? It's a good question. I'm going to turn my hat backwards to answer this one. Money makes you do crazy things. It really does. And Oregon right now is the deepest bag. I mean, when Phil Knight has it out there, hey, I am 86. I want to go win an Addy right now. That lets the recruits know, hey, they're paying. Let me jump on this right now. So why would you want to go to Oregon? Well, number one, it's a good program. They got great facilities. They got a great fan base. Austin is great. But, man, when you really break it down, travel 2,500 miles every weekend and play in freezing cold temperatures, that does suck. And you are going from Florida to Oregon. You are going from Texas to Oregon. I mean, going from Florida to Oregon is the furthest travel you can potentially think of from recruiting hotbed to very good college football program. That's a long way. But, you know, money's great. And look, LSU has landed some players because of them providing, you know, the best offer. It's just how things work now. So, look, every kid, I'd support every kid's decision. One more thing about DJ Pickett going to Oregon. Yeah, it is long travel. It is easier to pull that off in football because you are getting the heftiest check. That those checks do come with flight assurances, making sure all your family can come to the games and all that. And something else is in football, you're taking six of those flights a year for games and add on an extra six or so flights to go from Oregon back home throughout the course of your career. So you're averaging about a flight per month, or two flights per month, round trip. Not really that bad. Whereas basketball, weeknight games, travel to Big Ten country. I don't know if I'm ever going to get over USC and Ohio State being a Big Ten matchup. Like, and this comes off as SEC bias, and I totally get it. I do have an SEC channel, Power Hour SEC. It is my favorite conference, but I don't just drink the conference bathwater either. But this to me is just a fact. I know, and I understand it's an opinion, but it's just a fact. Texas and Oklahoma fit the SEC. Geographically, it makes some kind of sense, right? College sports is regional. It always will be regional. But maybe it won't always be regional because USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington being in the Big Ten doesn't feel right. It never will feel right. Texas and Oklahoma, I'll be honest, at SEC Media Days, kind of feels natural. Now, coming up, one very strong message from SEC Media Days regarding Texas has been sent. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally help build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All right, Julie fires in another super chat. We'll get into that here in just a second. But I want to talk about Texas. It's very interesting at SEC Media Days that the powers that be have sent messages to Texas. So there was a quote from Nick Saban that could be interpreted many different ways. But Texas and the Big 12 kind of got to call their own shots. They had their own network, the Longhorn Network. You know, their biggest seat at the table in the Big 12. No longer the case in the SEC. And Nick Saban had a quote that kind of sort of went along those things. And a lot of people took it as him saying, well, Texas isn't gonna come in and run the Big 12. Well, the truth is they didn't run the Big 12 when they were in the Big 12. I think Saban was more so referring to what I was talking about just then, right? They're not going to get to call their own shots. Then, today, it's crystal clear that horns down will not be a penalty. Horns down will not be a penalty. Which is the way it should be. Folks, we are adults, okay? Horns down should not be a penalty. And I got to be real, man. I've got to be real. You're Texas. You like to talk about yourself being the biggest brand. Or you like to talk about yourself that you're the biggest, baddest dude at the table. Trust me, when LSU fans get called corn dogs on the road, it's no big deal to me. I like that. I want that. I want there to be hostility. I want the horns down to be flashed. Okay? It should not be a penalty. It shouldn't be. Okay? You do the U upside down in the ACC, I would like that if I'm Miami. I would. So I am glad the SEC took a stance, horns down, unless, and look, I get not wanting to do horns down if you're taunting right in somebody's face. But the truth is, coaches, players should be allowed to do the horns down. Nola Grizz with the super chat. Love that purple background. Bringing that out, Carter the Goat. I still have your Drew Brees card. I'm not mailing it because I had a Robbie Lawler card collection. And I know Nola Grizz, if there's anyone on here that loves Robbie Lawler more than me, it's you. Obviously, you've been in the ring before. I'm trying to find those cards. I'm going to send you all the Robbie Lawler cards I have. So if I can't find them, I'll just go ahead and send you the Drew Brees card that you won not too long ago. But I got to find those Robbie Lawler cards. My favorite UFC fighter of all time. Because he was entertaining. He literally risked it all every time. And if you've watched enough UFC, I'm not a big UFC fan, but I've watched enough for me to know that there are some UFC fighters, once they know they're going to lose a fight, they go in body preservation mode. They don't actually go all out. If Robbie Lawler is losing the fight, he doesn't give a damn. He is willing to be beheaded in the name of the fight. So I've always respected that man. Okay. Yeah, you I think you sent me your address, I think, already. Oh, you want mine? You're going to send me something. Okay, there you go. Obviously, for those that know, Nola Grizz's family was involved in one of our craziest PHO moments of all time. That's still crazy. That's coming up on 2 years ago. Let's go to Julie with the super chat. I have been wondering if one of the reasons we didn't do more in the portal was because Brian Kelly believes that the new defensive staff can do more with the personnel we have than what Matt House did. That's a really good, very good super chat, Julie. And if you could type it out in the chat, I'll post it on the screen to show you even more love. It's true for two reasons, okay? Number one is it's cheaper to do that. It's just cheaper to do that. Because if you go in the transfer portal, those guys are getting offers from everyone. But for an incumbent to return, obviously, if it's someone that's really coveted, yeah, you got to up their price. But the thing is, there's a lot of experienced LSU defenders that wouldn't have had a market in the transfer portal because they weren't really that good. And they're 4- and 5-star level players. So you are right about that. There are some players that LSU staff feels very comfortable with that will take a step up with better coaching. Okay. One of those guys is Greg Penn. The LSU coaching staff loves him some Greg Penn. Reliable, coming up on a senior season. He's been through it all. This is going to be by far his best coaching. He had 1 year with Ed Orgeron and Durante. Then the final, you know, these couple of seasons here with Matt House. And now he's in the spot here where he's going to get to be with Blake Baker. So how good will Greg Penn be this year? I don't know. But that's one of the guys. Okay, let's do an example here. Let's just use a hypothetical. It's something that Kirby Smart talked about at SEC Media Days. And obviously with SEC Media Days, I have not paid as close of attention to it because I have been distracted playing this video game. But I did find Kirby's NIL comments to be very interesting because he mentioned something along the lines of, you know, if you're coming here to make the absolute most money, this isn't the place for you. You got to really compete. And Kirby has the luxury of always recruiting 5-star defenders and their defensive evaluation process being very good, that if you are an experienced guy, they can replace you with younger and cheaper, all right? Which has always been the case in economics. Some of you watching this have probably at some point been replaced by younger and cheaper. And sometimes it's better. Probably not for you. Every single one of you are the absolute best employees ever. But it happens. And Kirby will do that. You know, let's use an example here. Let's take Dumas Johnson, all right? His name is like Jalen Dumas Johnson or something like that. Really good linebacker for Georgia. Really good. Well, playing the NFL as well. Had an injury-riddled season, and a linebacker by the name of C.J. Allen as a true freshman began to emerge, and he was just better. I don't think they necessarily played the exact same position, but they were both off-ball linebackers, and Dumas Johnson hit the portal and got a check from Kentucky to go there. So it helps out both parties. Kentucky obviously doesn't have Georgia talent. They bring in a linebacker that was a Butkus finalist, and you know this guy's going to be a good player for them. Do you really want to go get Dumas Johnson and pay him what it's going to take, or would you rather roll the dice with someone who truly cares about the program in Greg Penn, who might not be as good, but he's hungry to make it work at LSU? So, you know, it's interesting. I don't know the exact number Dumas Johnson got. Maybe Greg Penn is making more money than him. I don't know. But to Julie's point, Brian Kelly believes that these guys will take a step forward. And it is a risk. I do agree, though, with LSU's macro decision. And when I say macro, I mean big picture decision. To say, look, we are going to go pay coaches. We're going to pay coaches top dollar to come in and fix what we need to fix. Okay, we're going to go pay the best possible coaches that we can get. Blake Baker, to me, was a top 10 DC in the sport last year. Bo Davis was a top 10 defensive line coach, if not the number one defensive tackles coach in particular. Kevin Peoples was a part of that staff, and Corey Raymond is, in the minds of many, the best defensive backs coach ever at LSU. So LSU went out there and spent money and paid the coaches top dollar. Blake Baker is the highest paid DC. Bo Davis is the highest paid defensive tackles coach in America. So they're trusting the coaches to get it done. Now, I would say they did try to get the portal guys. They did. So there you go. Mike says Robbie Lawler's his favorite fighter too. Man, yeah. If you aren't a UFC fan, Robbie Lawler should probably be in your top five. I wouldn't consider myself a UFC fan. I wouldn't. I would consider myself someone who likes to watch it, but I wouldn't necessarily call myself like a fanatic per se. So the names don't really matter as much to me. I care about the quality of the fight. And when Robbie Lawler is between or in the octagon, the dude is going to risk his life in there. I've seen that guy bloodied, bruised, and battered so many times in that ring. It is insane, man. Now, ooh, big sports news here. Lionel Messi to miss significant time. The biggest athlete on the planet. Interesting. Interesting. Let's go here. This is from David. He says, Carter, have you done Road to Glory mode? I've not done the Road to Glory mode yet on college football. I have not. Let's go to Scotty B. I didn't listen really to anything Drink said today. We don't play him. So that is something. But he says, Drink took a small shot at Blake today. He mentioned how they were 108th in explosive pass and 50th in third down defense. Okay. Let's have a convo about this because this has been, you know, brought up before. All right. And once again, I understand before the beginning of this next year, I will sound like I drink Blake Baker's bathwater. That is how much I really do think this guy is going to be a good DC at LSU. I really do believe it. All right. And I understand that you know, it's night and day compared to how I felt about Matt House being hired. I do think Brian Kelly got this one correct, which is why they paid $2.5 million for him. Now, do I think he should be the highest paid defensive coordinator in the sport? No, I don't think that. I don't. I do not. But I want to discuss this explosive pass rate defensive conversation. So, one thing to keep in mind, and I understand Jared, I kind of made that reference a little bit earlier about drinking the SEC bathwater. I will criticize an LSU coach. I'll criticize an SEC coach. I'll criticize anyone. Yes, I love LSU and the SEC more. Probably was a little too far in the bathwater. But yeah, I understand. I've come off as a really strong Blake Baker apologist. And I tend to be a little bit more measured with my comments. Now, will I be a little bit apologetic towards Blake Baker this year? Yeah, because I am very, I'm very concerned about our personnel. I just am. Am I fan optimistic about it? Sure, but I am very concerned about our personnel. I don't know if Blake can fix that in year one, but one thing to keep in mind when it comes to defense is sometimes your defense is the byproduct of the offense, right? Every rule in college football favors the offense, almost every single one of them. So, especially now, if the other team has an elite offense, it's really hard to stop them. It's really, really hard. Now, it is true that Missouri was susceptible to the explosive pass. But let's actually take a look at this a little bit deeper. So, Kansas State, obviously they gave up 27 points. That game got very crazy. Who was Kansas State's quarterback last year? Well, it was Will Howard. He is the starter at Ohio State. Ohio State, which has top five, top 10 NIL, they could have paid and went and got any quarterback. They went and got Will Howard. So obviously, Ryan Day and those guys think he's pretty good. And he was pretty good. Kansas State just moved on from him because they have a five-star young QB that they're paying a lot. So there you go. They gave up some explosive pass plays, but Kansas State also had a tight end that was drafted high in the NFL draft. So I can excuse that, especially early in the season. They still won the game. I'll take a 27-point performance any day of the week. Memphis, 27 points, a little on the high end as well. The Vanderbilt game, as you could see, you know, they kind of opened a big lead and got soft. Now, we get to LSU. LSU had Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. You kind of have to put that off to the side, right? If you're a defense and you got torched by LSU, the truth is every single defense outside of second half Florida State got torched by LSU. Every single one. And it required drops for Florida State to stop Jaden Daniels in the second half. Kentucky, not a great offense. They had a good defensive performance. Only gave up 21 points on the road the week after playing the LSU game. Then they played South Carolina the next week. Spencer Rattler, quarterback that got drafted. Xavier Leggett, wide receiver that got drafted. Bye week. Then they played at Georgia. Carson Beck, Ladd McConkey. Obviously, at the time, Brock Bowers was, I'm not sure if he was healthy this game. I'd have to go back and look. But they're still loaded. You know, Georgia's offense is still loaded. And holding them to 30 points was actually a really solid defensive performance. Then they played Tennessee. Tennessee held them to 7 points. Game became a blowout. Defense got a little lax. They gave up one huge explosive pass play TD. And in that game, that was about as perfect of a throw you could have had. And the catch was absolutely ridiculous that they gave up in that game. All right, so that was an explosive pass play in that game. Then they played Florida, and this is what I would say about the Florida game. Blake Baker was bad in this game. There's no other way around it. What I would say, though, is in the 2 years that he called plays at Missouri, the Florida game was the only game I would consider to be bad. So this is a man who coordinated 26 games at Missouri. I do not account Jaden Daniels lighting you up because Jaden Daniels lit everybody up. It doesn't, it's just, I can't fault Blake Baker for that. Could he have done a few things differently? Sure, everyone can. But it was Jaden Daniels. He was going to find a way. He's one of the best quarterbacks of all time in college football. The Florida game was not a good performance. They were at home, and lucky enough, the offense bailed them out. Arkansas game, once again, a really good performance. Got very lucky KJ Jefferson got hurt in that game early, but it is what it is. And then you held Ohio State to 3 points. I get it. The Ohio State quarterback opted out. Marvin Harrison opted out. Sure, there's an asterisk there. That is still a Power 5 team in a high-profile game that you held them to 3 points. Ohio State's offense still had a ton of 4 and 5 stars out there. You held them to 3 points in one of the biggest games in program history. By far the biggest game since the Pinkle SEC Championship games in the mid-2010s. So, yes, it does sound like I'm being defensive of Blake Baker's 108th ranked explosive pass defense. It is a little concerning when you look at that and you have multiple secondary members that got drafted. But I provided a ton of context. A lot of those explosive pass plays were because of Carson Beck, who is probably going to be the number one quarterback drafted next year, and Ladd McConkey, and the LSU game. Jaden Daniels was a top five quarterback selected in the NFL draft. Another game where you still held them to 27 points, Will Howard. Now, what I would say is that Missouri really struggled with the zone read stuff with Will Howard. Zone read stuff is going to be very interesting going into this next year, especially with guys like Taylen Green on the schedule and stuff. Should be interesting. But I still think Blake Baker's going to make us better. And to Jared's point, he just needs to stabilize a defense. Even if we get lit up this next year, I'm going to defend Blake Baker to a certain extent. I'm going to. Now, was I on fire about all the defensive decisions that LSU did this offseason? No, I wasn't. But I still believe in Blake. I still do. Now, I do want to show some love to H-Down Creole and all our viewers in Houston. I don't know what all's happening there. I have a few comedy buddies in Houston who I follow, and they are talking about the energy situation, electricity. It's always interesting, like the Texas power grid. I know it's like different than like the rest of the country or whatever. So I really hope you get your power back soon. If you have lost it, I think I saw you say it earlier that you have lost it. Comment section has been crazy tonight. But because of that, I'll go to your comment next about the Harold Perkins gaining weight situation. Yeah, so what's interesting about that, I saw an interesting tweet from Trevor Sikkema. He's a college football analyst for Pro Football Focus when it comes to the NFL draft. His wife is a personality in the SEC network, really talented broadcaster. And he pointed out something that Harold Perkins at his old weight when it comes to NFL draft prospects would have been a zero percentile weight for his position. In other words, there's close to 0% NFL players that played at that weight as an edge, and 0% NFL draft prospects that play at that weight. So he had to gain weight. And according to Brian Kelly, he was asked multiple times about it, that he did gain that weight. And we'll see how it works out for him this next year. Am I concerned about Harold Perkins to a certain extent? Yeah, I am, because there are a lot of moving parts here. But if he truly is at like 220, and I know most would feel more comfortable if he's in like 225 and up range. And you guys know, when it comes to college football, I like my athletes to be thick. It's a physical game. I like thickness. No pause. I'm just telling you straight up. I don't know if I want Harold Perkins to bulk up too much, because I don't want for him to not feel like him anymore and just bulking up for the sake of it. I don't mind at the collegiate level you being a little undersized for NFL standards, because, look, I that's something, you know, you can worry about when you get to that level. But if instincts and football IQ is where it needs to be, I think he can get away with floating in that 217 to 220-ish mark. But he would need to be like special in all the other aspects, which I think he can be. I do. Okay. Let's see. Obviously, you know, I've touched on like all the LSU stuff I want to get to. There wasn't as like many like SEC media. Normally, I'm talking about like every last little thing that LSU said at SEC media days. So it just kind of got drowned out with the football game, if we're being honest. I gotta be real. My love for college football has actually gone up with the video game. I thought that would happen, because I already love college football as much as I do now. But I talked about last week what the college football playoff committee chair said would help LSU host a playoff game next year. We're in a top five college football venue with relatively good airport access and hotel access, and we're in a warm weather climate. So it helps LSU out when it comes to hosting a playoff game. But one thing that would undoubtedly help LSU even more out is if the playoff expands from 12 to 14. which is certainly being discussed right now. And honestly, until the end of time, you are going to hear about playoff expansion in every single sport, just because playoffs make so much money. And you guys know I'm just anti-playoff. It's not too much of a public discussion right now because, you know, a lot of the national college football media are just very locked in on the discussion regarding Florida State and Clemson. But I hate 12 teams as it is. And even though an expansion to 14 helps LSU out even more, I'm anti-14. I'm anti-12, hell. Also, to follow up here on H-Town Creole's comment a minute ago, I think every LSU fan feels this way because it is Harold Perkins, but it was a little overblown when Harold Perkins was asked about an Oklahoma linebacker named Danny Stutzman. All right. This guy did not win the butt kiss last year. I mean, this is someone that most people don't know. But Harold Perkins was asked about Oklahoma linebacker Danny Stutzman. He's a good football player. And Harold Perkins says, I don't know him. And it kind of got passed around as like disrespect or whatever. Man, even if the roles were reversed and they asked Danny, whoever at Oklahoma, hey, do you know who Harold Perkins is? And he said, no, no offense. Now, if Harold Perkins won the Heisman last year and he said that would be disrespectful. That would be very disrespectful. But that's not what happened. It's just not. And I'm glad Perk was honest. Because, and H-John says, that is disrespectful, Carter. I will be real, okay? I will be very real. I would kind of prefer my players not know who the other guys are for a few reasons. Number one, that means you're not on social media, right? That would be the only way you would know who Danny Stutzman is, or unless you watch a lot of college football. Well, newsflash, the players, they can't watch college football. They really can't, like, because they're playing games. And that's something that we tend to forget as well with college football players. It's probably the one sport where you watch the least of other teams unless you are studying film of that week's opponent or you play them that year. Like college basketball, you're able to watch a lot of the other teams play. You just are. College football, it's hard. And Jared says, Perk probably doesn't know all the 85 LSU players. There might be some truth to that. You know, I think since he's been there 3 years, he knows most of the guys. But if you were to walk up to CJ Daniels and you said some third-string defensive tackle's name and he didn't know who they were, I just would not be offended. I would not. And I understand, well, that's your teammate. You should know who that is. You can go up to anyone. I wouldn't be offended. Now if he was in your same recruiting class and, you know, for the last 3 years, I would like to know that you know who that is. And I think most players know all the other players on the team, but there's just so many guys. I mean, there really is so many guys on every single team. And I think most rational Oklahoma fans are like, okay, that makes sense. We haven't played Oklahoma since, well, you know. since Jay Jettis, Joe Burrow. Put it on. Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 5 to 10, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep the party moving. Very fun Tuesday Night Live. I'm watching some of these other clips of these NCAA football guys. I have no shot. I have no shot being this good at this game. All right. Let's do a little trivia. Is John Emery Jr. the last player on the 2019 LSU Natty team that is still on the team right now? The answer to that is no. Can anyone name another player? There you go. Pegasus got it. It's Josh Williams. Spectrum wants to talk about Dylan Carpenter. So, all right, let's talk about a few players that Brian Kelly just kind of mentioned in passing. Of course, he mentioned Dominic McKinley. Another name that he brought up that I thought was really fascinating. I do think it is some signal when a wide receiver gets brought up. Because Brian Kelly, who's on the offensive side of the football, has an offensive background, even though he played defense in college. He did mention Jelani Watkins. I thought that was interesting. All right. Now, why is Jelani Watkins interesting? Well, he's really fast. He's probably the fastest player on the team. It's probably a race between him, Caden Durham, Chris Hilton. Michael Turner's probably in that mix as well. All right. He did, Jared. I believe he did. But it just depends. Do you include a red shirt as part of the team? I do. If you're on the practice squad or whatever, you're part of the team. But I thought that was something. I do. We kind of know Gabriel Relaford just by watching in the spring game. Kind of know with Dominic McKinley. Now, how do I feel about Jelani Watkins? Kind of in the middle. You know, I viewed him more of as a year two guy. But he might be so undeniably good, he plays a lot year one. Chronic 9, good to see you. Now, I was going to save that for the end, but we are close to the end. But in the next 5 to 10, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it moving. Once again, please go support our PHO partners, NOPOD Roofing. Please, please, please go support them. That helps put food on my plate. Your next home improvement project, it's not just roofing. It's fencing. It's overall landscaping outside your house. Give them a call today. NOPOD roofing 504-810-8744, noffseason.com, siding, all the good stuff. Give them a call today and let them know Carter sent you. Let's see here. A lot of people are going crazy over the MLB All-Star uniforms. I don't think they're that bad. I'm of the belief that you should have special uniforms for the All-Star game. Let's see, I'll post one on the screen. I can't just find a photo of it. Okay. Do you guys think this is hideous? I think the NL ones look a little better than this. I don't think those are really that bad. I really don't. I'm not just saying it just to say something unpopular. the national anthem? She said she was drunk. That's what she said today. Ingrid, I don't remember her last name. She said she was drunk. Here's my thing. I thought drinking makes you a better singer. I mean, there's honestly nothing quite like drunk karaoke. It's when you feel the boldest, is it not? Drunk and going to rehab. But all jokes aside, I do wish she gets better. Oh, man. I do think if there was ever a year where Texas going 6-6 would be funny, it would be this one. I think it would be so freaking hilarious. So I'm done because we do have a live stream coming up tomorrow. We will be live at 6. DJ Pickett making his announcement tomorrow. If you want my full thoughts on what he's going to do, Patreon.com/LSU football. Big shout out our top super chatter via Venmo tonight is Julie. Chance's favorite national anthem. Chris Stapleton at the Super Bowl. That was really good. Whitney Houston's national anthem. You know who else was just knockout, unfreaking believably good? Carl Lewis. Couldn't believe how good he was. Marvin Gaye at the NBA All-Star Game. Now, I am of the belief, this is what I would say about the national anthem thing. There has never been a bad national anthem when it's done by a group of people. A church choir, a barbershop quartet, whatever the case may be. A group of people singing the national anthem is always better than a solo artist, right? Because the national anthem brings people together, right? It's when we are together. So it shouldn't be one person's job to lead a very powerful song. You know, always a group of people better. I will say the most impressive national anthem I saw live, and this is a random deep cut, but 2010 LSU Arkansas won the game, went to the Sugar Bowl, whatever. Joe Nichols gave the national anthem, and I was on the sideline for the game. I was like 10 yards away from him, and that was so impressive because his like he didn't have an earpiece, and that it's an older, very crammed stadium, so the echo was insane. And that's something else about doing like a solo national anthem. Like, if you're like your own monitor, whether it be your headphones, earpiece, or a speaker that you use for a monitor close by or whatever, and most people don't do that for a monitor, but whatever the case may be, I'm not a singer. Like the echo from where he was standing, because I was so close to him, I was like, how can any one person just do that on their own? That has got to be so nerve-wracking. And yeah, he just destroyed it. Like, it was really good. So Joe Nichols, good national anthem. I think he's "Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off." That's it. That's him, right? It was really good. Best one I saw live. Not the best one, though. I think most would say Whitney Houston. That's what. Now, we'll see you guys tomorrow. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Don't forget, get your merch, powerhourlsu.com. And tonight, oh, we're doing chicken fajitas. Let's go.